If honourable members would recall, in October when we were doing the annual report, the chairperson and the CEO came and made a presentation, and out of that, some members of the board were not happy with what they apparently say they saw on channel 408, which is the parliamentary channel. And we just felt that because this is one of the organizations which is doing well, it will be important that we deal with the issues while they're still, I consider them to be very minor issues which we can be able to handle, or they can be able to handle, so that they can continue doing the work that they're doing within CBRTA. Honorable Hunsinger.
Thank you, Chair. I was hoping to ask the opportunity to just ask a question before you start introducing, and I didn't want to be rude to interrupt you. But it relates to the issuing of driving license cards. And there seems to be a problem. I've been getting a lot of complaints, and since we have the opportunity here with the department, I would just like to ask if there's some explanation that we can offer, since there's been an escalation of complaints since August, and we definitely need a firm answer. If we could just look at that whenever you would want to allow this. Thank you, Chief.
Okay, I think let's go into the subject matter while the department is preparing to can be able to give us. Maybe, Honourable Member, if you can be specific, because it may be possible that it is in a particular province or a particular municipality, and then they can be able to make a kind of an intervention that is definitely needed.
Thank you, Chair. The complaints which I've been receiving was on the following the application of a new driving license card, as like we all have to carry. There's been no response in terms of the turnaround time to such an extent that people are still waiting for those cards from August. And the problem in addition to it is that, yes, while you can obtain a temporary driving license, you have to pay for this. And since there's no indication as to when finality would be reached, and I don't know whether it's a logistical one, whether it is a procurement issue in that, as we've seen with internal affairs, where we run out of a particular type of paper or article which is needed for the practical processing of the book or card, in this case, there's no statement so that the general public can get an indication of when this would be sorted out. So as I say, since August, and we've receiving an escalating number of complaints now of people saying that they've applied long ago and they don't get a firm answer, they don't know what the reason is why they are not getting their driving license cards. So that basically is the gist of it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Without procrastinating any further, for the benefit of other Honourable Members of the Board of CBRTA, I am Dikeledi Magazi, the Chairperson of this Portfolio Committee. Right next to me is Honourable Hunsinger.
Good morning.
Next to Honourable Hunsinger is Honourable Noluchungu. Next to Honourable Noluchungu is Honourable Siabi.
Morning, everybody.
Next to Honourable Siabi is Honourable Keko. Good morning to you, ma'am. I miss Madam. I miss you. Next to Honourable Madam is Honourable Ramatlakane.
Dumela.
Dumela Ntate. Next to Honourable Ramatlakane is Honourable Sibande.
Luchan Moremense.
So, Chairperson of the committee, I am going to be giving to you to introduce board members And once you have done that, probably, I don't know if the persons who signed the letter, if they've got somebody who will be able to talk to the issues, and then we're able to go into the subject matter. Acting DG, you can just quickly introduce yourself also, and then you'll be able to move from there.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members of esteemed members of the Portfolio Committee. My name is Chris Tlabisa, Acting Director General of Transport. We've got a team here from the Office of the Minister, the advisors to the Minister. Is our lady there? I don't know whether you want them to. We want to hear their voices when they greet. I don't know.
Whichever way is fine.
Oh, show hands. There's Ms. Hadebe there, who is a special advisor to the minister. We've got Advocate James Mlao, who has also joined us. We've got Ms. Ndlovu from the Office of the Deputy Minister. We've got Advocate Makgato here, who is in the roads branch. We've got Prasant Mohan, who is the acting DDG Road Transport. We've got Dr. Sishi, who is on the Governance Council issues, oversight issues. We've got Ms. Muzipe from the Office of the Minister doing the parliamentary liaison issues. We've got Fuchane, Msonyo Fuchane, who is from Rhodes branch, also a board member at CBRTA. He can show his hand so that you can see him. Who else is here from? Sipho Dibakwane is sitting right behind Sipho Khumalo. The Sipos are sitting behind each other, back to back. So we've got Sipho Dibakwane here. So I would therefore request that my colleague, the chairperson of the CBRTA, with your permission, Honorable Chairperson, to introduce the members of CBRTA. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you.
Morning, and thank you, Chairperson, and morning to the honorable members of the committee. On my left hand side, I've got Professor Jan Habenga, who's the Deputy Chair of CBRTA. Next to him is Mr. Baloyi, Denis Baloyi. He's a board member. And then on the extreme side, then next to Mr. Tlabisa, I've got Mr. Sipho Khumalo, the CEO of CBRTA. Next to Mr. Khumalo is Mr. Lakiche Kisho. He's a board member of CBRTA. Next to Mr. Tekisho is Ms. Ignatius Konyela, as a board member. Next to Ms. Konyela is Ms. Kitabile Masangu, she's a board member.
Kitumezi,
correction, Chairperson. And Mr. Fushan is a board member. Thank you, Chairperson.
You are a board member.
As I indicated, we received a letter of concern and complaint from our board members of CBRTA to indicate that they would want to raise the concerns that they are having with the portfolio committee, because when the sitting happened, there were certain issues which were raised in the portfolio committee, and I don't know if there's going, they will have somebody who would speak on their behalf. Raise the issue so that honorable members can be able to acquaint themselves with what exactly is happening.
Yes, Chairperson, good morning to the honorable members. My name is Ignatia Sukonyela. May I also greet the colleagues from Department of Transport And Chairperson, we really appreciate the opportunity that we have been granted to come and address, present, or even give our perceptions of governance issues within the CBRTA, perceptions which we believe are indeed true to ourselves. The signatories of the letter that came unto you, Chairperson, were myself, Mr. Tekisho, Ms. Mahlangu, and Mr. Baloyi, the four of us. We are, as stated, the members that requested for this hearing. I will lead, Chairperson, but the members will then come in as it would be necessary, seeing that all of us have specialized portfolios that we hold. So they would then give more information on matters as one touches on them. As you have rightfully said, Chairperson, the CBRTA started off on a rough patch for some time until it appointed the services of the CEO, Mr. Khumalo. And at that stage, then, we saw profitable systems being put in place and the agency achieving a clean audit. And it has done so consecutively for 3 years. It is under this leadership also that we saw an introduction of the Linking Africa dream, and a dream which the CEO would repeatedly say that he is prepared to die for. Honorable members, you will also remember that it is on this, on that fateful day in October that the CEO and the chairperson appeared before yourself as a committee and reported that we, the board members, did not want to sign off the financials. These are the financials that fetched a clean audit. May I also share that amongst the members that did not feel comfortable to sign those financials are a representative of the board who is a member of the audit committee. And as I shared earlier on, she will, of course, as all other members will, share her reasons for being uncomfortable with the financials. We are the members, Chairperson, that are said to be absent from meetings. We are the members that are said to not contribute in meetings, save the chairperson, the deputy chairperson of this board. We are indeed the ones that are said to be exacerbating the chairperson to a point that the chairperson wanted to resign. We are the members that at a stage, the CEO via the chairperson, and I'll explain why I say the CEO via the chairperson, wrote to the minister at a stage requesting that the three of us, of the four, the three be retired. All this said, Chairperson, may I also share that I chair the CBRTA, HR and REMCO, which I have been appointed to chair since we were appointed on the board, which was May 2016. And this is the problematic committee that the board finds itself having to contend with. Chairperson, as I mentioned, we joined in 2016. At that stage, the chairperson of the board was Ms. Pukani. The deputy was Ms. Nkomo Malehon. We then found ourselves sitting in a board where an executive came and wanted to allocate tasks to the members, to the committee. And that indeed was what we were not used to. That was corrected at that stage. But even as early as we started, we found that on many occasions, the CEO would bring instructions, news from the minister's office to the board. At that stage, the board objected to that. We made a resolution then that the minister should be asked via the chairperson to communicate with the board through the chairperson of the board. We then moved on. A lot of good things obviously happened, Chairperson, otherwise that the agency would not be functional. But for the purposes of this presentation, one would actually respond to the issues that were brought up which affected us negatively or where we were painted negatively. We then, as a board, having started then, Chairperson, we found that almost all of us were new, except the Deputy Chairperson and the Chairperson at that stage. We requested for a strategic meeting to be held. Before that strategic session of the board, from the HR Remco side, the CEO brought through an organizational structure that he wanted to be approved, or rather that he wanted the Remco to take through to the board, that we were supposed to take through to the board for approval. There were issues, one or two issues that we were not agreeable to, but we then said to the CEO, the organizational structure comes after the strategy. So we will go to the strategy session first, and based on what the strategy takes, where the strategy takes the agency, then we will relook the organizational structure. So we found ourselves in November 2016 at an organizational strategy meeting. At that meeting, we were surprised to find the CEO with his executives at the board strategy meeting. Also, it is at that day that the CEO reported unto us the resignation of the deputy chairperson, Ms. Malihong Gomo, to the board. We were then introduced to new members of the board, or rather, the present members of the board who had changed positions, being that we now had a new chairperson, who was Mr. Ramati, and a deputy, Professor Havenga. Thank you. I must also say that the chairperson had been on sick leave before that meeting. So our deputy was actually acting as the chairperson. And the day went on with the CEO leading with an appointed service provider from his side. We, especially myself, tried to say to the chairperson, can we please have this become the board strategy meeting? It did not happen. At the end of the day, the organizational structure came forth, which I must say was just the top level, the executive. So it was an incomplete structure. It was not a costed structure. We from HR Remco had actually already had problems with the structure containing a COO and an executive at the CEO's office as well. So we had mentioned to the CEO that we support an appointment of a COO, but we do not support the appointment of an executive in his office. So this is what the executive structure looked like. This structure, chairperson, was also not costed. The context and the importance of the costing of that structure comes from the fact that we were at that stage, as the agency, expected to relieve ourselves of a number of employees because we could not afford to pay their salaries. We thus were going to be transferring them in a few months from then to a sister agency, the RTMC. And this is why, as much as people would then have wanted to argue that financials or the bottom structure was operational, it became strategic because it touched on the sustenance of the agency. Needless to say, chairperson, the structure which from HR Remco was not supported, was put on for vote, on a vote, and members abstained, and it therefore was voted into being a structure by the chairperson, deputy chairperson, and one other member. I must also say that at that come 2018 today, this structure has tended to increase in size. The executives refer a lot to an approved structure, approved number of positions, but as I mentioned on that day, what was before the board was just the executive level. Chairperson, we then went on in that meeting to inquire of the resignation of Ms. Nkomo. The reason why we were asking questions was because according to her letter of resignation, which the CEO shared with us, her reasons for resigning was the fact that she found herself receiving a letter that was introducing a deputy chairperson of the board while she was a deputy chairperson. So she basically resigned to avoid conflict. And we felt uncomfortable. And we also did not know the process that was followed in appointing both the deputy chairperson and the chairperson at that time. Needless to say, chairperson, that we were replacing a woman with a man. This was not well received, chairperson. That meeting then ended with quite a few other unpleasant happenings in the following board meeting. We then moved chairperson to a next lot of meetings, wherein in that meeting the chairperson of the Audit and Risk Committee reported that the agency was sitting on a contingency liability, and it was running into big numbers, millions, in the hundreds. And this liability was increasing every month as we go. This is the case to do with what was presented the previous sitting before the board. And we as a board felt that if this case where the applicant were our clients and these applicants were questioning the signing off of tariffs that were promulgated in 2014, and if indeed we had a contingency liability that was at that time 400 and some odd million rand, which was increasing with time, if we got to the finalization of this case, chairperson, and the matter went against the agency, that would actually cause the total shutdown of the agency. And we felt this was a threat. We felt this was a risk to the sustenance of the agency. We thus, chairperson, wanted the matter to be open for discussion so that we can also claim. This has not happened to date, because as far as our chairperson is concerned, we have no knowledge of the business of the agency. Some of us are also not accountants, so we do not even understand what contingency means, so we were shut down. Neither less to say we put on record what we felt that day. Chairperson, we also found ourselves with a report on travel. The travel reports come with every quarterly meeting report to the board. This particular travel, which was the first one to start this whole argument of the travel, had to do with the CEO's travel. It was the CEO, the chairperson, and a number of other staff members. They traveled to Mauritius. We were not informed. Neither was information shared prior to the travel. We were expected to ratify the expenses, and we were not happy with that. We felt uncomfortable. And we then asked for a travel policy to be made available to us. And we put on record that we are not happy. We would want to be told it's a matter of courtesy. It's also a matter of good relationship building, governance, for a CEO to share his travel with the board. Obviously, till to date, the CEO, the chairperson, both feel they don't have to do that. So the next thing, we found ourselves with an email, a very unpleasant email from the chairperson of the board. Specifically mentioning the travel issue. One of the other issues that were mentioned, chairperson, was a lash on me. It was raised at that moment that I wanted to be operational. When we started at the board, I had been asked to assist the executive to develop reports and all that, and I was asked also to mentor that executive by the previous chairperson, and this was then reported out of context. So looking at that letter, chairperson, looking at how the board was being run from the chaplain's side, we all then agreed that we needed training on board governance, you know, company governance, and we procured the services through the CEO's office of procurement that side. We procured the services of Gibbs and they sent us Mr. Connor, or rather Dr. Connor. Dr. Connor came and did training, and indeed it was a good training session. He touched on a number of issues, Jefferson, that we were not happy with. And from that training session, we also brought up the issue of the letter. And it was agreed in that session that it is good for us to then have a relationship building session. And because Dr. Connor had specifically, Chairperson, been spot on the issues that were our area, we then accepted him to be the person to facilitate the session. Unfortunately, Dr. Connor came to the session having been misinformed, and he came with an attitude that we did not want to accept the appointed chairperson. And the session went to a point where he finally saw our side of the story. We are still waiting for the report. This session took place in 2017. We still do not have the report. I must also add that we are also uncomfortable that he has been appointed to be the audit company for the agency. Chairperson, following that, we then had, you remember I mentioned the beautiful strategies linking Africa. We had a seminar with international guests, and or rather Africa guests plus some international guests that came. And during that 3-day session, it came to our knowledge through some of the employees that there is a letter that was written to the minister. This letter was written by the CEO via the chairperson. And in this letter, there was a request that the board members, myself, Mr. Tekisho, and Ms. Matlangu, be retired from the board. This was not done through the discussions at the board meeting, but it was written from the chairperson's side. We then, after that, received the letter, the copy of the letter, on an anonymous email, all of us. And when I received the letter, I phoned Mr. Shadita and requesting for intervention. And when that did not bear fruit, we then called the department. We were then introduced then to the two advisors of the then minister and the chief of staff. We held a meeting with the advisors and the chief of staff, and we presented our issues on the table. And we were told in that meeting that indeed the letter was received, and that Mr. Shadita had been assigned to investigate the matter. But nevertheless, we were promised that we would be called for a meeting. That did not happen, as we know, because we changed leadership. So it meant again that we were not successful again in resolving the matter. Chairperson, on the activities also from the committees, I will speak now from the HRCOM. We now had to review bonus, performance appraisal time, employees wanted bonuses. At that stage, Chairperson, the cross-border agency had managed to only achieve 67% of the set APPs. The CEO himself who is on a different appointment condition, did not achieve what could give him 100% of his salary. So for that year, he only earned the 80% of his remunerated salary. The 20% it was agreed he would earn if he achieved 100% performance. Now, when we discussed the matter of bonuses, a resolution was signed by the members. That resolution said that we will give performance bonuses unto the employees, but there were conditions that performance appraisals would be done. Obviously, you would look at availability of funds. That does not exclude the policy framework that the agency works within. When we got to this stage, obviously the proposal would come first to REMCO. We questioned the policy framework. The policy of the agency said that there is a threshold that they need to achieve before they could get performance bonus. Now, the CEO, as I've already shared, did not perform at the level that could give him his total salary. And one found it unbelievable that the executives would have exceeded performance. Remember, performance bonus you get on exceeded. And a two-pager or so was presented before us, as the chairperson of REMCO, we then asked them to bring evidence to prove that they have indeed exceeded the expected level of performance to qualify for their bonuses, especially when organizational performance was not where it was supposed to be. It was at 67%. And when one studied the evidence that one asked for, I actually found that the executive KPAs were not even supportive of the organizational mandate, some of which were administrative in nature, which then meant that, and explained, and they also did not fit in into the CEO's performance. So based on that, we felt from HREMCO that we will not present these bonuses unto the board, but we will decline to give the executive bonus. We then found ourselves at a board meeting where a company secretary that was also an executive HR presented the bonuses before the board, allowed by the chairperson to do so, even when we said we do not want them presented at that stage. That day we successfully, you know, managed to push them out of the agenda. But we found ourselves at another board meeting. This time it was the CEO himself who made the presentation. And unfortunately, it also took a personal attack on me as the chairperson. Despite our advice, chairperson, the bonuses were approved. And we then moved chairperson. HR REMCO was also given a responsibility of ethics because we still do not have the right number of members to carry the whole board. But also if you look at the terms of reference of the HR REMCO, you will see that we also have a duty on ethics. I then received an anonymous email from employees, two anonymous emails. One speaking on corruption, which is what the Honorable Chairperson asked at that sitting in October. Corruption and all other issues of appointment into senior levels that were put forth by the employees. A second one was speaking into the unfair distribution of bonuses. I then, at that time, it was actually even after 10 p.m., I sent the CEO a message and I said, I've just received something very disturbing here, and he had not received it because it was forwarded to myself and the chairperson and then a few other people at the department. And the CEO asked me to distribute the memo to everybody on the board, which I did. We then, as the board members, felt that this matter needed discussion. A number of unpleasant emails were exchanged between ourselves and the chairperson, who felt that this should not happen. And despite the pleadings that we keep this out of the media, because the employees were also threatening that they will write to the media and all that, it did not happen. We then found the ARC chairperson having taken it upon herself to investigate the matter. The investigation took very long, or rather the preliminary investigation according to her. According to her, she did not need the board to delegate the investigation unto her. It is within her duties to investigate. So it took forever until a report was brought before us, a report which we were not happy with, which has a lot of issues that were not addressed. We as a chapter, as the board then felt that we needed the CEO to come and present an answer to a few other things that were in there. We again differed on how to handle the matter. We wanted a legal firm to be appointed to assist us. The deputy chairperson and the chairperson didn't want that. We voted and we then said the resolution was a legal firm will be appointed. We then found ourselves with obstacles with the operational team that was not assisting us in appointing the legal firm to assist us as a board. The deputy chairperson then decided to take it upon himself and decided that he will write to the CEO, and he told us he's made the decision. So obviously after he's made the decision, it's a done deal, so whatever letter he wrote, I personally commented on them on it because the hurdle had been lost. So, you know, so it was then forwarded to the CEO, and we obviously didn't get everything that we wanted out of him, especially because at the meeting where he came, when we tried to ask any other extra questions, we were stopped and told, that's not what you asked him in the memo. So we couldn't go very far. That meeting, chairperson resolved that we would then ask the minister to give the CEO special leave so that we investigate the matter properly, because it was not investigated. And where we're sitting now, chairperson, is in October, the chairperson of the board shared that with the sitting here. And members have reported getting calls. I missed the call that we need to close off this matter. And of course, I saw the email from the deputy chairperson saying to the board members, we need to close off this matter. We are being threatened with legal action from the CEO's side. And yes, as far as I don't know who at the stakeholder level is concerned, this matter should be closed. And we're obviously arguing, we don't even know what we are closing. You know, employees have raised issues. We don't know whether the issues are true or not. All we have is a report before us that indicates certain issues that need to be investigated further. And we're going to find it difficult to close the matter when we don't know what we are really closing. So at this moment, we are sitting on those different positions. We are still awaiting the minister to come back to us on the requisition that we had put on the table. The argument is because the minister is taking too long, we need to actually get out of the matter. If the minister wants to investigate, he can investigate, which we are not agreeing to. So I think, chairperson, at this moment, I'll leave my colleagues to add in where I have left off. I have rather touched off. Safe to say, chairperson, this is also an issue that is, you know, in English, they don't say it the way we say it in Setswana. Loga sona re re wa itshiela. And ha se se itshiese a khotse wa bua. And this is the unfortunate situation with our CEO, that a lot of information that's being investigated has leaked from his mouth himself when he is satisfied with what he's had. And that becomes more of a difficult issue for us to just leave lying open. And I think at this stage, Chairperson, I will leave it up to our my colleagues to add what they need to add. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Before your colleagues add, I see your hand, Honourable Member.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you for sharing aspects which are quite disturbing within any organization, let alone a government organization. Thank you for the disclosures that you've made. But, Chair, this is one variation of two variations that we have. And I would want to suggest that we don't open the floor for more variations, and that we rather take a stance in terms of finding a solution, and a quick one. The fact is that there is a problem, and that it needs to be addressed, and that we need verification of all sorts of disclosures of a variety of what could become more than two, just acknowledging what we've got on record. So therefore, Chair, I would suggest that investigation is considered, subject to what the Minister undertakes, but that we don't entertain and engage into any further disclosures of this kind, but that an investigation is rather suggested and considered by the committee.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable Member, there's a proposal that that comes from Honourable Kinga. I don't know if there's anything who agrees with the proposal as put forward. Honourable Ramatakan.
Yeah, no. Chair, I hear the proposal, but in actual, I don't know what it means. If it says you mustn't open up the other version, I'm not quite sure what it means, or whether the proposal is that, having listened to the presentation of the challenges of the problem, we should say that the matter should be dealt with by the minister. I'm wanting to find out what is that proposal suggesting. Whether, because at the end of the proposal, Honorable Obsinga says, we then open up this for the investigation by the committee. I don't know whether it suggests that the committee should depart on the fact finding on the matter that has been raised. So it's very difficult to just say we agree with what has been proposed without really having had an issue. For me, the difficulty I have is that the version, there are maybe allegations and counter-allegations. Now, or will we take it that this conclude the discussion of the annual report as a way to reply to that? I don't think so, because the things that are raised here, some of them requires an attention. That they are raised in the committee, special sitting of the committee, we can't now say we don't know about them or whether they are not raised and there's nothing we can do about them. So my slight deviation from the proposal is that perhaps in all fairness in this relationship that we entertain it and we come to some kind of understanding as what made them constitute the way forward. That's so, because the difficulty, my problem in this chat, if the board is divided into two, it's almost like a untenable situation of a grouping that it forms within the board. We will need to understand that whether it's factual, is it true? And if it is true, does it mean that the board itself continue to be competent to run in business? So you see my problem. So at the end of this meeting, what do we recommend? Because this is the official meeting of the committee. What do we say? Yeah, you know, so maybe help me to understand what we, because I have a complete different view on this matter, including because the department is also here, to understand a little bit more from parties here in order to come to some kind of determination. Otherwise, it's just one-sided. We would like to hear for a little bit more. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Let me allow Honorable Bande and Honorable Kreko, then Honorable Siari. But my understanding was that Honorable Humsinga was saying from the other side of the coin, we have heard what was happening, which actually is a problem statement to us as a portfolio. But probably maybe I might not have understood. I thought that we were going to be listening to the other. The coin has got two sides. And therefore you can't spin it one-sided only. You have to listen to see both sides of the coin as to what exactly is a head or a tail. You have to do it that way if you will be fair. But so in essence, that is what I was understanding him to mean. Honorable Sibande, Honorable Treko, Honorable Siak.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, let me have you right on what Honorable Matlakane is saying. You see, Chairperson, before we start to end, there is something very strange in terms of the line function and the like. I'll put an example from the presenter herself that they have received a clean audit for three consecutive years. At the same time, there are challenges. So my question based on the issue of procedures in terms of line function, rather than us to jump the way on. Were all the procedures exhausted? I don't know. And then also, if you listen carefully, some of the issues were...
Honorable Sibande, if I might ask, which procedures are you referring to?
I mean from their side. From their side. Because already you have yourself alluded to a very, very straight point that we have listened to the other side of the coin, we don't know from the other side of the coin. And then also, before we go further, Chairperson, what is strange to me is that the issue of voting, that if there is a problem, if the people are differing, that they vote, and then after voting, some people take decision. So itself, it tells you something. Therefore, Chairperson, I think we're supposed to have full information, because this information is not yet full. For an example, the presenter have indicated that they've received an anonymous email. How sure are you with an anonymous email and then come to the conclusion that we implement 1, 2, 3? This thing is deeper than what we see or what we hear. So I will propose that let's follow the procedure which that it is not clear that the directive is supposed to be supposed to have, because this matter can be deeper than this. I can't just jump if there is an anonymous. For example, anybody can write about me in the paper. If you jump, it's your own endeavor. Because you can jump at the end, we'll face the mighty law. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, let's be mindful of time so that we can also give Mr. Ramate also to talk to what the board is all about.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I agree with you. But I just want to say what triggered this meeting is what the other board members had on our parliamentary channel. But what we had then is different from what we hear now. So that makes us unable to take a decision. I think what we're supposed to do as a committee is to give other people chance to respond. Because what we have then is that the board is becoming dysfunctional. Some other board members are not attending meetings, are not carrying out their responsibilities. But my other question would be, Chair, what has happened from the date of that meeting when the board was here and yesterday? I'm saying yesterday because today they are here. For us to say the board is functional nor dysfunctional, at least we must know what has happened, Chair. But I think I am with you to say let's get the other side of the coin. Thank you very much.
No, thanks, Chair. I think I agree with colleagues. The proposal by Honorable Musinga, if we can pack it, because it should form part of the way forward. But I think the best thing is to continue with the inputs from board members, and at the end, we'll make a determination. Please.
Mr. Ramachi, sure. One moment. I can see your hand. I thought that we were going to be systematic in allowing Mr. Ramachi to make input. I don't know if that is... you can't, when we start deliberations, you can be able to put it in the packing bay. We'll listen to this other story and then we'll come back to you. Okay. Mr. Ramachisa.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you to the honorable member. Chairperson, as the honorable member there, I can't remember the surname, indicated there are basically two stories that were involved. When I came to the South Honorable Chair, I reported what I regarded as expenditure incurred in vain during my tenure as a chairman of the board. And that is what I reported. And that, Chairperson, let me point out that from the letter that the members of my board wrote to yourself, and to the presentation that was put forward here has not been disputed. So, in fact, what happened here is that a new litany of issues were raised, which I would rather, Chairperson, with respect, not go into. Because when you are dealing with matters which are half, quarter truths, and total misdirection, I wouldn't like to use the word lies, but there are a lot of them in those. So, you know, I would have to start unpicking a lot of written information, go back to the rest of the meeting to talk to this. So, if allowed, in this case, you know, another session or whatever, or written, I would provide a whole portfolio about what is written, what was said here today. Chairperson, these members of the board, the four of them, in the letter, a copy of the letter that I got, which I suppose is a copy of what was written to yourself,
claim that I misled this committee. I did not. It is true, Chairperson, except for Mr. Baloyi, who has got a very good attendance record at board meetings. The rest of them, the records speak for themselves. They don't need me. They know. And they cannot deal with that. As to that, I think that I keep trying to keep this thing going, but it's sort of going to speak. I think that these members of the board are generally incompetent. Chairperson, let me say that I did not use the word incompetent in this house. And also let me apologize if I ever used any threat in this house. Because those are some of the things that I mentioned in that letter. If I were to use the word incompetent, Chairperson, I would have said these board members are grossly incompetent. I say this with due respect, Chairperson. But professionally, all I have to say that in the 3 years that, 3 years minus 4 months that I've sat on this board, these four board members have not demonstrated the minimum basic competencies required of a board member. That is my assertion here. The board members talk about unity on the board and put on their letter, Chairperson, and what equality and talking about leadership. The letter is very difficult to read, I must say. And seeing that Mr. Baloyi's name comes first on that, I could not contain my sadness because he spent so much time on board meetings on language and grammar and such things. So I don't know why he didn't put his name on a letter that constructed in that fashion. But be that as may be, as it may, Chairperson, my belief, Chairperson, on leadership and equality and unity of the goods are simple. At TRTA, we have a cleaner and we have myself. I have work to do or a job to do, the cleaner has a job to do. And as long as it's both of us are doing our jobs, we are equal. I don't belong to any aristocracy class. My job is not more important than that of a president. And once I drop the ball or he drops the ball, then the equation is no longer balanced. And that's where I would leave it. But this thing of equality, Chairperson, if you look at what it really means to these board members, it's a simple question. We are all board members, true. And as all board members equal in the board, which is true, who are you to say to me or someone, you know, to any board member that you are not doing your work or please lift up your action? On the 1st of May 2017, Chairperson, I wrote a letter to these board members stating what I regarded as the problem, you know, the sickness that inflicted this board. You should understand that I started on this board on the 1st of November 2016. And when I wrote that letter, it was following so-called unpleasant meetings as such, meetings at which board members would not listen to order to say, please, you said you are saying, can you let somebody else speak? Kind of thing. Board members were behaving like, I don't know. And the worst part of it is that in the process, and in one meeting, the target was the chairperson of the ARC committee. That's why I'm happy she comes up in the reporting today. And you find that board members are talking about things that they have no clue what they are. I'm not ashamed to say that, Chairperson. When you don't know anything, what I was taught or what I learned at school is that if I don't know the answer and the teacher calls me, I mumble and then I say city. Because I know every country has got a capital city and you know, it will be Cape Town city or Johannesburg city or whatever. But not with my process. go full blast about the subject that you want. Chairperson, I'll take you to 6 days ago. We had a special board meeting to approve the DPP. And I'm just saying this just to demonstrate this special approval. We're supposed to, the second draft of the APP that we are supposed to approve, Chairperson. And allow me just to do the APP, not second draft. We confused with me about the way. Chairperson, in that meeting, the meeting started with you, as usual, with Mr. Tate Show objecting. And if you listen to the table, the reason for objecting is that because board members have need to have been workshopped on how the APP was put together and those kind of things. And it takes about some time, 10 minutes, 15 minutes on this, and other board members joined about the need for workshop and all those things. And then the meeting, the chairperson of the Oceanist Committee came in online and, you know, she was their committee's view and whatever on, you know, the work that they did on the APP, the oversight work that they've done. But before that or during that, Mr. Baloyi took up the issue on language, spelling, lines, you know, headlines, capital letters and all that. I had to stop him in his speech to allow the chairperson to finish her, do her presentation, so that we can sit at the board and deliberate. After that, she assured the board that they've done their work and they're happy with the APP. And Ms. Konyala picked up on the principle of SMART. How was it applied to, if you said it was applied, how was it applied to the APP? And chairperson, she went to demonstrate the most shallow and the most narrow understanding of the principle. And you see then, you see that principle, you think, you don't know what you're talking about, where it gets a truth. But I have to keep quiet because I've got a bigger, you know, target in ahead, and it has been signed and done with. But the refrain of workshop keep coming about, how is this thing put together, what are they booklets, are they templates, you know, what directives and all those things. And to go, you know, eventually it was approved, luckily, and Mr. Tekisho did not even sign the approval, the resolution of the board as such, but if I take you into the future, January, this board will have a workshop on how an APP is prepared and all that, what comes into it, and then it will sign a final APP of its term in January, and it will ride into the sunset. Now let's go back to 2016. We had an induction call, and APP was presented to the members of the board. And none of us, chairperson, said, I don't understand, I don't know. Then in August that year, we set in and approved our first live APP. In November, we approved our second. In January 2017, we approved the third one. Then we still didn't know that, we don't know. Then came the fourth, you know, the fourth and the fifth and the sixth, and we still didn't know that, we don't know. Then the seventh, we still didn't know that, we don't know. When we come to the eighth one that we have to approve, suddenly we are on this magical road where the light has just turned on us. But remember in the story in the Bible of Paul, who changed the name to Saul, with a clever play of, you know, let us take the earth and put the pin in place. He still has a long way to go to contribute when he goes the light. We don't have that problem. Now, chairperson, take that into account. Basically, for 7 times, we lied to the department that we know what we're approving. Because if you approve something, there's something that you know what's being approved. And that is the quality of the court, chairperson. And that's where we are. And, you know, when it comes to this question of equality, the way it is phrased, you know, the real sinister motive behind it is that We are all equal board members. You cannot report me. I think that I'm repeating myself, Chairperson. But basically, you take the board as an accountable authority, you lock it in there, you close it. The minister has got no insight into it because the minister does not sit on the board. He doesn't get to know what's happening in the board. And I, as a chairperson, or as an individual board member, I cannot report outside this. Even my coming to this committee, chairperson, what Ms. Mena referred to about the maliciousness, thing like that, it was prescient. Why not in every board member, any other board member, why the chairman and the CEO is required to go there? And I said in that meeting, please leave this question for the CEO because I don't know how my troubles are managed. I just get told to do this. But if you look at it that way, chairperson, you'll find that the whole intention about this equality and what have you got is to make sure that whatever is happening on the board does not go outside. Because if I go outside this board, I got to go outside with the mandate of this board. Whatever I see out there must have been approved by this board. Now, who among us would like, if one is doing wrong things, to be known to be doing wrong things? Normally not. So, Chairperson, that's why I will close it on the basis of the letter that was sent to you. This presentation, as I said, that was done today. If I were to use the words that were used in the letter, includes shocking distortions of information, etc. You struggle to find, you know, a single line that is completely not distorted. Meetings that were referred to, what took place in those meetings, it will take us a long time to go through what I've written here. And if you allow me, Chairperson, I will stop there. But if you so wish, I will produce whatever documents I have here and discuss each and every point that was raised here. I thank you, Chairperson.
Members, there we are. I'm going to be giving you 1 minute each because I want to hear all the other members of the committee. Also, give them 2 minutes each to talk to the issues. I will start with you, Prof. With Dennis, thank you so much. You have spoken. Okay. Let me hear Mema Tangu. I'm going to request you to be short, concise, and to the point, so that I can give members chance to speak to the broader issues. Because my belief is that we need to come up with a recommendation, which actually can be able to assist the board to move forward in this instance. And honourable members, I've noted honourable Mpanza. Yeah, Shokor. After the members who have spoken, Nzokala Kuwe or Mr. Sibanda come this way, and then we will be able to map our way forward with regard to what has happened here today, Prof.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to try and be very fast and also don't want to get into a lot of the detail. Just the first statement I'm going to make, I was just as surprised when I was appointed as Deputy Chair. I don't know where it comes from. I did not lobby for it. It just happened. So it's one of those things. The second thing I'm going to say, a lot of the letters that's been written to the Minister about rotation on the board and so on, I had no knowledge of. Those are things that happened. Irrespective of anything else. A lot of the other details that I'm going to go into, but I do want to go into the detail of what has happened in terms of the allegations against the CEO. There was a meeting out. I phoned in by telecom. So from my side, I urge the chair that we should have this, at least one discussion about it. The feeling afterwards is the meeting was not presented by or attended by everybody, but at that point we already heard that ARC is investigating. So other than some of the accusations against me that I was against a meeting being held, I just decided, well, if ARC's busy with an investigation, let's hear for the results. The results came in June, and when the results came in, the chair asked me to chair the process further from that point on. I tried to keep the process as inclusive as possible. We listened to ARC's report, and ARC's recommendation was that we asked the CEO for representation, which we did. The question about the letter being written to him, I really struggled to get to a point where I did not know how to get a legal person appointed through the company supply chain. So on the 11th September, I wrote to the board members, as I always do, and I'm going to quote from the whole letter. But at that point, the CEO has made representations to the shareholder at the shareholders meeting, and people were unhappy about it. So I wrote and I said, I also take note of the CEO's representation. Of our previous decisions, I agree with many aspects of the CEO's representation because this matter is taking too long. Labor law says that within 1 to 3 months, something like this should be solved. This was already 13 months since we've received the allegations. I then says, I want to propose a different course of action. And I ask all the board members, can't we simply write to the CEO and say, here's the report, please come and make your presentations. It's a simple matter. We just give him the chance to do it. And I received the answer back from his secretary that says, I'll think about this. I attached a proposed letter to my letter. So I said, this is what I think we should write. And the next day I got proposals on how I should change this letter, add paragraphs and stuff like that, from Mr. Kanyela and from Mr. Chikiso. I have to assume then that they agree with my course of action. So I wrote the letter to the CEO based on, and I took on board all the proposals that I've received from the other board members. And I wrote the letter. As far as I'm concerned, when the CEO made his representation, I cannot recall that I stopped anybody in asking questions that they wanted to ask. There wasn't a lot asked. We then wrote to the minister. We did not get a reply from the minister for 2 months. And then I went back to the board members and I say, according to what I understand from a legal opinion that I've received, is that you cannot sit with an investigation for 14 months and not react to it. And my proposal was that we write to the CEO and say the board as such closed this matter, but the minister at his pleasure can decide to take this matter further. And that was my proposal. And I just felt it was unfair to let it go for 14 months at that point. And that is where I stand.
Mr. Baloyi.
Honorable Chairperson and the members, I'll be very brief. I regret that things that should have been dealt with the board were on TV. I did not see it myself. I asked colleagues, they confirmed. Indeed, there is response because there's a shareholder's response. Representative and the board itself. When I asked the question soon after the new chairperson came, Mr. Ramati, about the visit to Mauritius that we left, which was quoted, and the response was basically that it's not necessary. And I found that to be potentially divisive of the board, which we have ended up with. Because we were not investigating anything, we're simply saying in all the organization of a similar kind, not necessarily board, but any organization that involves staff and board members, for example, councillors could be taken as that, even for the NGO. If the chairperson feels you don't need to know, incidentally the previous one did. When we open meeting, it's so mechanical that you don't have a report of what the board, because the board, the chairperson is a link with the shareholder, the minister. But if we don't have a feeling, there's no such formal presentation, it's only the CEO. Therefore, to me, it's divisive potentially of the board, and that's what we have there. Hence, I was attracted to your comment, Chairperson, that the board, it seems a very simple problem. It is simple, but it has ramification that has made us go into a plane to come and discuss some of the things that we should have been discussing at our board meetings. So we, if it was up to me to do, I'd appeal to the chairman to take us more seriously. I'll come to the issue of spelling, the code, and language. But chairperson, if the chairperson doesn't necessarily has to link with the shareholder and the CEO, so it creates an impression that there is a board and the chairperson and the is the board, because we don't get, and that simple thing of telling us before I'll be going to Mauritius, it means other things we don't know. So you end up feeling that you are there to attend meetings, and you don't attend regular meetings. So we must make observation. We sometimes do, by the way, when I see things outside and the board and the CEO, I've got another one that I've seen on TV. I'm not operational, but I take it to the chair and the board. But if we only attend meetings because you don't even know, the day before we met, that portfolio, we approved the thing, but we didn't know when the portfolio, we might have known from our own, but we're not informed formally that colleagues were going to present the portfolio, and that has happened since the chairperson has come to him. So there is something operationally function. It's not equality, it's a question of taking us a little bit more seriously, so to protect the staff and the CEO, so that we should not suspect that the what's happening between the board, the chairperson, and because he briefs us. We're in 2018, and emails can do that. I don't only correct chairperson and members at meetings, but I tend to read through my experience leading other people that when you write a report, particularly municipality, it's the same even in a stock fair. When you actually present a report, I even say it at the meeting, that this title case, it's the aesthetic of the report and alphabet, not language. It's received by the citizens. So a report that goes to the minister goes to the citizen, and it must be as readable as board members. I feel if I am not, and I don't dwell in it. By the way, that was accepted by the CEO. COO is here. Through the CEO, they agreed that they will end up, because I even pleaded that I've been saying the same thing. I'm tired of hearing the title case, you put it in the computer and it does it for you. So I think I've addressed that one. Thank you very much. But I plead that we should, the board should, the chairperson should treat all board members so that we feel if he knows he has issues, and particularly to discuss a board's comment, not just the CEO, how he sees the world, because he's our link with the shareholders. Thank you very much. I'm repeating myself.
Thank you, Mr. Baloy. Mr. Tekiso.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much, honorable members, for giving us this opportunity. Look, I'm not going to act like the chairperson and want to insult people and all of that. I think it's not correct, but I want to raise my issues. I think the issue here is really...
Thank you, sir. Can you humbly withdraw the fact that the chairperson is sulking? We're here to deal with the problem where we believe we can all be able to really hold each other's hand. If you can withdraw that and continue, thank you.
Okay, Chair, I withdraw. Thank you very much. But I need to say this, that I think the chairperson is acting like a school principal towards its pupils. The challenge here is that you do not have to have a different view in a meeting. You do not have to raise anything in relation to issues that are discussed in a particular meeting. You can't. Because if you do that, it means there are challenges with the chairperson. So the point I'm trying to make here is the chairperson is a person that wants things to go his own way. It does not want people to engage whatever position that is engaging. And our issue is really more about good corporate governance. And we always raise this thing. And there are a number of examples that one can make. For instance, when one speaks about us not attending meetings. I would agree with him that perhaps we need to go to the transcripts and the minutes so that people must be able to see whether it's true what he's saying. That is not true. The issue of cross incompetence. I can't believe that we have been appointed doing such a very good job and performing such a good, does such a good performance, but still we are grossly incompetent. It doesn't really make sense. It doesn't fit. And the other thing that is critical is that when we speak about the issues that we need to do, for instance, the example of the CEO, when the reports came that this must happen and all of that, he has continuously been protecting the CEO in relation to this investigation. And we want to wonder why is he doing these things, because we thought no one is blaming the CEO. All what we wanted was to say, let us just investigate and ensure that we know that we clear the CEO, there's nothing wrong with that. And we did not think that it could have made such a big issue, because he really fought us, even in emails, we were insulted and all of those things. But he kept on saying, for the sake of good governance, let us clear this issue and be able to have that investigation. And besides the investigation, the investigation was done by AMC, not even by us. And there was a response, a finding, a recommendation that was there. All what we did was to discuss it as a board and say, there are some issues that these guys are proposing. Can we just further investigate so that we must be able to come to the bottom of this matter? But we were wrong. We were not supposed to have said all of those issues. And the other issue is, when appointments are made, instead of the chairperson of REMCO having to be able to attend those things, he goes there himself without us, and when we hear, the company secretary has been appointed. And how was the company secretary appointed? Interview alone, no other people have been given a chance. Similar with the issue of the CEO. You can't say to me, it's just internal, while the CEO position is so important for the agency, and not want to open it up. So when we raise this issue, we are making enemies with the chairperson. And I do not believe this thing that we are fighting the CEO. We're not fighting the chairperson, but we're trying to ensure that even if we perform good, we must also couple that with a good corporate governance. And another example that I can also make is an example of when Mr. Baloyi was appointed as REMCO member. He was just instructed by the chairperson to say, no, you are supposed to attend that, and no one was consulted, we're not consulted, and he has to sit here. And I'm saying, you can't act like a school principal. You have to be able to entrust collectively your members and be able to deal with them and take them into confidence when we have to deal with issues of the board. He can't be the board alone. He has to be able to deal with us in relation to these issues. And there are a number of issues that have happened, including the issues of how the transfer happened in relation to the issue of the transfer of the law enforcement. We raise issues to say, what are we saying about the legislative framework of that issue? Why can't we be able to deal with it first and all of that? But we were just checked out to say, no, but we have taken the decision, this is going to happen. So I agree, perhaps my proposal is, if we can be able to then perhaps have this investigation, that proposal, and go through the transcripts, what has happened in meetings, and maybe honorable members will have a better understanding, because we continuously raise this issue. It's not true what the chairperson has been saying about issues. It's just because we do not agree with him in instances that he thinks that we're incompetent. And I think I've been sent there to do my job as a board member, and I'll continue doing that for as long as it relates to issues of good corporate governance. And I think I'll stop there.
I'll specifically go straight to the point where I was mentioned that I didn't approve or sign the financials. The reason for me for not signing the financial, it was common cause that the financial came on the eve of the board meeting. And like everyone else, I also received them late. And being a member of the audit committee, we had a we battled to add up numbers. Executives were battling to come with to give us the proper or the numbers they believe in, the financial they believe in. So as a result, the committee chair and the members, they agreed that we need to seek the opinion from the AG. So as a audit committee members, we never said to recommend those financials to the board. So I wouldn't just go to the board without having recommended the financials to the board and come and say that I approve the financials. That's the reason why I didn't sign. And then to, in fact, make matters worse, when the chairperson of the audit committee was supposed to come and present those financials to the board, she didn't meet up. So I also find myself that I'm really hesitant because the chair who's supposed to be didn't send the financials. Further than that, Chair, I must say that with CBRT, as corporate governance chair, we were never as board members appointed by the chair or appointed according to the skill set. You were appointed by the executive to say you go to that committee, you go to that committee. But as you know, the corporate governance doesn't say that. And then in terms of the absenteeism check, I want to refute what has been said here by the chair that members just abstain or stay away from meetings without tendering any apology. I mean, we are adults, we are professionals, we have been sitting in the board, we know the rules and the procedures. So everyone, including the chair, tender apology if he doesn't come. I mean, for me, I'm speaking for myself. If I don't attend the board or the committee, I read the submission, I read my text, and I'll send by email all the issues. I'll contribute, I'll send my inputs to say that these are the issues, and then before the meeting, they will debate on whether they are even say that I approve or not approve. I've been doing that. I've got proof for that. Okay. And then on the issue of the trip to Mauritius by the chair and the CEO chair, we don't want to go all over the globe. No, we're not asking for courtesy. It's respectable for the board to know where our chair is. We just didn't meet with us to say that I'll be going away. We don't want to get into what the reasons. So the chair, when they come, they will say we must ratify. We can't ratify something which has got huge financial implications because we can't sign. I mean, we have to keep a proper oversight. Our fiduciary responsibility doesn't allow us to just sign things which we don't know. In terms of the investigation which is ongoing, which you are talking about this reporting at the moment, Chair, that responsibility was given to the ARC, the Audit and Risk Committee, by the chairperson of the Audit Committee decided, maybe initiated, investigate, and she appointed the internal audit. So my only concern, which I raised with the committee and the chair, that I mean, after they have investigated, the report was, the the first report, the first draft was given to us as the committee. But what unsettled me, which I didn't approve, is the fact that when that report came, when that report came, it was concerning for me that the independence or discretion of the internal audit was interfered with, to say that take out this provision, replace it with this. So I told them that in my entire investigation profession, and as an attorney, I've been investigating in many different capacities. I've never seen where you interfere with the internal audit. I send the email. It's not that I'm speaking behind. And then that really I was not happy with. And then I can't just sit and watch something like that happening. So if you can down that video. Okay, and then what is of importance, Chair? We engage the services of Institute of Directors to come and do water appraisal to assess our performance as a board. The CEO appointed the with the request from the board. So what after the appraisal has been done, when the official from Institute of Directors came, he told us what was really, really shocking for me to hear, that the previous board had the same issue. It was not the same members, but they had the same issues where the board was divided into two. And what he said is that the board was divided into two because of the CEO. There were those who are for the CEO, there were those who are not for the CEO. So really issues like that, you feel that something we have to unearth what is happening as we are speaking. You have to really bring it to the fore so that we know we shouldn't have the same thing repeating for years. We are doing this in the best interest of the organization, not of the shareholders, Chair. In the best interest of the CEO, we are citizens of this country, where we have to be patriotic about our country. We cannot allow things like that to happen. Okay, I want to end.
Moya Fat. Honourable members, there we are. I've given all the members to have a chance. Can we push it up until 5:30 so that we can be able to go prepare ourselves? Remember, we've got the bill in front of us today. Honourable Sibande, I'm giving you 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 3 minutes, will be 15 minutes up to CRV, and another 6 minutes up to Zumsinga. Do you want to start first? Okay. I guess Kale, Mr. Sibande, 3 minutes.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, you know, what is your inspector? We're dealing with professionals. And I believe that this is supposed to be an internal matter. And also, we do have our weapons, which is the foundation, which are guidelines, which is King 4, King 5, as a principle, not as a policy, to guide us. And we do have a PFMA as well as the Constitution. Chairperson, you know, with this, let me start with the department. Department, there are two types of visits. You call an unannounced visit, an announced visit. I don't know how often you visit your entities. I don't know how often. And then, Mr. Abuyagu entity, in terms of the guidelines, you do have a guidelines in terms of how many times do you supposed to have your meetings per year. And then in case of emergency, you can add one or two, whatever, because there are financial implications in that regard. So, Chairperson, you know, without wasting any time, I wanted to propose the way forward. But let's take this matter to the department, in particular to the ministry, and give the minister a deadline that we expect a response after this day, so that we can go and check where is the problem. Because this time with the White House, it was not enough to interact with their arguments. Because Farana says schooling and artists Kasapi, whereby kids are fighting each other, of which if two elephants are fighting, the grass is suffering. Meaning the staff, what about the staff? You see, Chairperson Menonfo, we propose an easy way forward. I'd like to see it continuing like this, because we need a thorough investigation of this thing, so that those who have contradicted themselves against the law, they must face the mighty law. That's the only solution. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Honorable Musinga, if you can speak, and then you're fine. Okay. Honorable Rabataka.
No, Honourable Chair, I'm going to be brief. Just the I'm not asking a question, I'm just doing an observation. My observation in what we have been presented with is the unfortunate observation that we have a board that is, the organization is actually running in spite of the board. I think the Green Order is running, the board are busy with their own business. And their own business is continuously digging a hole for themselves of the division. I think we must say that. With what has been presented for the others and presented by a chair, to me, it demonstrated a dysfunctionality or a deep-seated division, and the body language, expressed body language, demonstrated that it's somehow irreparable. I see the presentation, I see how the people speak, I see the posture. It shows that the board would not be able to do much going forward. So I think the issue about the and I don't know why it's allowed to fester to go on like this. Maybe the chair, I mean the panel over here was looking at the department, because the board does not meet without a representative from the shareholder. But all of these has not been reported, quick intervention, solving the problem, that you don't dig at all. I think that this observation for me, and I don't know, Chair, but let me leave this here by saying, I think it's unfortunate language that we also listen to, unfortunate language of the board that is grossly incompetent. Strong language that has been expressed. It says beyond, it can't even repair. And I'm hearing somebody says I'm a lawyer. Maybe there are a couple of lawyers in the room. I don't know how many there are. So I think that maybe what we need to say is that, yes, let's agree that what we have listened to here should have not come here. It should have been resolved elsewhere. But unfortunately, we also didn't know quite well to expect. Nor could we. We don't take pleasure in listening to what we have listened here. It's very embarrassing that adult people like yourself, who are professional in your own right, you have not seen good to find yourself, each other, to resolve the issues. earlier, even when you are instituted an NGO or somebody, organization to deal with this matter to resolve it. So, to run to this stage, I'm maybe younger than all of you, but really, really, it's I'm taken aback by it. And I think the CEO here has not said anything. He's been around for some time. He's an administrator who's been around for some time. I also don't know how will he allow something like this under his watch to continue to basically, actually, you see conflict widening. You don't see conflict narrowing by people who have been able to say this, that's now very defensive. So I do want to say, Chair, that maybe it is correct to say it is a matter that the minister has to deal with. I don't know whether it is beyond repair, whether it can be repaired, whether there is a commitment from the board members here to repair their relationship, whether they can go out and repair in the interest, they say all of them, they are busy serving the country. In the interest of the country to say we would, you know, our egos are smaller than the objective and the vision of the country and what we need to do. Egos can always be left outside and deal with the work that we need to do. So I want to suggest that it's a matter for the minister, but it's still not too late for these board members to say we would want to try and repair whatever we have repaired. Each one of us has wronged ourselves, but we are committed in repairing to continue to do the work that they do. If not, I'm sure they can voluntarily just resign. There's no good, there's no bad. All of them, if the board can't function, you can't say it's part of the board and the other part of the board is specifically. So for me, they will do justice then if they say at the end of the day, all of us guys, we have, let's walk away from here. Let the minister re-establish a board that can function to do the work that he needs to do. This bickering and fighting about of this is not taking the country anywhere. That's my view.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable Lorichimu, and then Honorable Mpano.
Thank you, Chair. I am very disappointed today to hear what I've just heard, especially from adults and professionals. I want to take it a step further, Honorable Ramatlakane, and say these board members that are sitting in front of us should come up with a proposal if they want to continue to serve in that board. There is one proposal that has been put forward. They have also mentioned here that they would like to serve the country. Then if they have the interest of the country at heart, they should come up with a proposal here in front of us before they leave and say, this is what we need to do in order to resolve this. Thank you.
Honorable Mpana, if you can take a cue and an example from Honorable
Noki. No, Chair, I will take a cue from Honorable Ramatlakane. I'll be brief, but no, Chair, thanks very much. No, I'm going to be short. First of all, I just appreciate that the board member is but Chair, really, on a serious note, time is money. You see, today I think we've listened. Yes, of course they've come, but I think we've really wasted time of the committee and their time as well. Really. Chair, I don't understand. This thing is full of contradictions and inconsistencies. For me, this is a working, fighting. They are working, but they are fighting for their achieving clean audit. So you don't understand how this thing is happening. But Chair, in closing, I just want to say support what Honorable Sibande has proposed. We did not appoint the board. The board is appointed by the minister. And if there is a problem, then the first person to deal with the problem is the minister. Because I think we have not been fair. We should have listened even to the shareholders, because when he's there in the meeting, we observe to hear what is his observation. And the CEO, part of the board, should have said something also. So I think let's take it to the minister and then get the report from the department in our whatever time that we agree on. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Chairperson. Someone here reminded me of my former responsibility as a teacher and a school principal. I was introduced to a saying that says, what do you see in the picture?
Amen.
Chairperson, we will never let the highest governance structure of CBRTA to degenerate like this. I think South Africans do not deserve what we have seen today and had today. I think, Chair, the department is here as led by the acting DG. The recommendation that we need to sensitize the minister is correct, and I'm with that recommendation, so that they go back, we are going to take decisions on their behalf to sensitize the minister about what we have seen today. I think the recommendation by other colleagues is correct, Chair. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. I think I would support most of the suggestions by colleagues, but I just want to say, in a board, like even in this committee, we are given different responsibilities. And it is our role to execute such responsibilities to our best ability. But there is a leader who is the chairperson, even in this committee, we have a chairperson. So if the committee goes astray, the first person to call to order, can I put it that way, would be the chairperson. Why is your committee behaving like this? Why are you not submitting reports and so on? I think even the same with the board. So I would really support what Honorable Ramathagana said, that maybe the board, all members of the board, must go back and sit down, reflect, try to swallow pride, do away with our egos in the interest of the country, and see where we went wrong and try to find one another. Obviously, we are human beings. We can think and we think differently. We can argue, we can debate. But if always you want your view to reign supreme, then you are no longer part of the collective. You are appointed as a collective so that you take collective responsibilities. So that would be my input, Chair, that maybe even if we are going to sensitize the minister, we'll advise the minister. But it's not only for this board. You still have a future. You still want to be appointed in other boards. Because once you are blacklisted by this government, it means you'll never serve in any board under this government. So what you are doing, you're not doing yourself good. So I would say, let's go back, let's swallow pride, let the chairperson provide leadership, and make sure that we resolve our issues. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Mr. Kabisa.
Chairperson, thank you very much, and all members and colleagues. I won't say too much on this matter. I want to agree that this matter was supposed to be handled at a different platform, not yet. That one I fully agree, 100%. Secondly, I don't want to go back too much on the matters, but I think I have advised personally the chairperson, because I was receiving a number of letters, emails, SMS from the board member to say, no. Work with your chairperson and then produce a report to the minister as to what is it that you want to happen within your organization, which is an entity. Remember, they are the accounting authority for the CBRTA, and they've got an accounting officer, which is the CFO. So I wanted to remind what I said to the chairperson. So the chairperson took kind of that. He said that is what was going to happen. We do have a shareholder rep at CBRTA who was appointed by the minister to be there. That is Mr. Buchan there. I just want to address a matter where it was raised by one of honorable members to say, do we not have? We have. So he attends as a board member, and I think that is where we need to strengthen our oversight. And also we have now established a role of oversight, through which is headed by Dr. Sishi, on the Governance Council issues, which has recently been established. So, but on this matter of CBRTA, I would really request that, I want to repeat what I said. I said, Chairperson, please handle this matter. Do a report. Call all your board members under one roof. Engage and produce a report to the minister. Then minister will ask us to intervene and guide the processes moving forward. So that is what we are going to relay to the minister, and also remind these board members you are here. That is what I said. Not that we did not avail ourselves. We know the protocols. So chairperson must lead and take everybody into confidence, produce a report for the minister to make a decision. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Sarisa. I've really helped members to postage because they must break and work prepared for the debate this afternoon. But I want to say, it is doable, it is possible. Mr. Baloyi, Mr. Tekiso, Ms. Konyela, Mema Tambu, Professor, it is doable. You hear all the members, what they are saying is that you've got a clean audit, and therefore it means that something good is happening. Just work on the relationships that are there. And remember the reason why members wrote and say we were misrepresented in the portfolio committee, and therefore we want to share the side of the story of the from the our perspective. This to me, I take it you are all hurting, and like Honorable Nolichungu has indicated, go sit down as this collective and say, how do we make a way forward? What are the recommendations that we can do to ourselves as a board, to the CBRTA as an institution, and to the minister who is the shareholder? These are the things that we believe we can be able to do. But critical, having listened to yourself as we're talking, there is an indication that you need to look into policy imperatives. One member spoke to transport policy, how do you travel policy, how do you travel, and all these other things. It's very simple. Have that policy in place, have every other policy in place, have an annual plan of travel. As the CEO, as a board members, these are the things that you want to do, to Australia, wherever, you have an annual plan. It gets endorsed by the board. And once the board has endorsed that, if there's going to be a deviation, it's easy for you to can be able to quickly call an emergency board meeting and say, this is a deviation. Because after all, once there is a travel plan, an annual travel plan, it will be posted. And if there's a deviation, then you look as to what impact will that make into the budget of the department? Deliberately, I don't want Mr. Khumalo to speak. He must just listen and go and be able to implement what the issues are all about and be able to assist the board can be able to make informed decisions on everything and everything. I don't know if you brought your company secretary here.
Yes.
Company secretary. They did nothing. Did they introduce you?
No,
I didn't.
Oh,
okay. You heard what the members are saying. We definitely will are very keen to get information, as has been raised here, that some of the things are not known. Bring the your minutes of the board to the committee, so that the committee can be able to see, and we will be able to say to the minister, your shareholder representative should be able to look at 1, 2, 3, 4 things which are not happening in CDRDA. We know it is doable, it is possible that you can be able to climb to a higher trajectory, because we have already seen that you've got what it takes as professionals, and you can be able to heal the rift. If you don't want to heal the rift, ride on, brother. And the minister will be able to go and look for other board members who can be able to really work. But we can see the good in everything that we are doing, all of you as a collective. We can see the good. What is needed is for you to just, you are not friends. You are not friends. You are here for a purpose of making sure that cross-border issues in the Republic of South Africa are looked at, they are focused at, and then we can be able to make a difference. Because always remember that it is what the president has said is we need to make sure that we are able to really take ourselves higher and take Africa to the highest. Because what you do impacts positively or negatively onto Africa, and therefore we would request you to go and do the positive things so that Africa can be a better continent to live in, so that Africa can be able to work towards this ideal that we're thinking of, an ideal of a better life, an ideal of a better continent, an ideal of a continent that can be self-sufficient. And that, looking at all of you who are here, with your professions and all these things, you are up to the task. I need to declare to honorable members that Mr. Baloyi, we come a long way. He's my elder brother. That's why earlier on I forgot that I was in a meeting and said good news. And I know what he's got. I know what the capacity that he has. He can be able to really take this board together with everybody. Ms. Konyela has got what it takes. Kidimet, please, guys, I depend on you. Women power.
Yeah.
Women power. You can be able to turn this board. It's not a boys' choir. It's got women power. You can be able to turn this board and become the best of the boards. And that day, Khumalo, you have heard. Members are hurting. Shareholder representative, please represent the shareholder to the best of your ability. Don't allow things to just without you highlighting them to the DG or to the minister, because you're not representing your jacket, you're representing the shareholder who is the minister of transport. Make sure that you report everything and seek guidance as to when you go to the board meetings, what are the things that we should be able to take forward. On that note, I've already apologized on behalf of the members that we have the Road Accident Benefit Scheme Bill that we are going to be debating this afternoon. And some members were writing me SMSs that they haven't finished their debate, their speeches, so I will attend this meeting knowing very well that we will write to the minister and impress upon the minister to look into this matter as a matter of agency. It is definitely urgent that we should be able to deal with this matter, and it is doable. Don't let South Africa down. And remember that when you let South Africa down, you're also letting yourself down, because that is the person who failed in CDRTA. We don't want that, because we believe that what you have, you can be able, other boards can be able to come and copy from how you're doing things. Much as they always say, Prof, I don't know how to translate that. And at the same time, his changan very. Tashibala she went that Havan. I don't even know how to translate that also in English, but it means exactly that. You may be coming from the same mother, but you will not think and act the same way. In essence, that is what I'm trying to say in these indigenous languages. But the fact of the matter is that you belong to the same womb, and therefore you should be able to work and represent this womb properly. On that note, the meeting is adjourned.
Thank you. Long live. No, I mean.